pastors do have Bibles. And the men's fellowship is going to be on May 11th. May the 11th, we have a men's fellowship coming up. We want all the men to be here. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, this account starts off in the person that we're centering around here in terms of our focus on this particular reading is a woman named Hannah. Hannah. And so what happened here is Hannah was married, but for some reason she couldn't have a child. And the Bible says that in verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when she went up unto the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Obviously the answer is no. And he says here, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thy handmaiden, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child. Then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come nigh his head. It says here, verse 15, and Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, this is kind of interesting, and this is a situation here where a woman named Hannah did not bear fruit. And God's way is that we bear fruit. Yeah. that we be fruitful. And so Hannah, in this case, it said that the Lord had shut up her womb. Obviously some conditions had happened that would prevent her from being fruitful. Well, God's promise to us is that we be fruitful. So she now had cried, she had fasted, and she had prayed, but nothing happened. So now she vowed a vow. Let's go over to Ecclesiastes in chapter 5. She vowed a vow. Now, a vow is something you can do when things are not working. But let's read here how Ecclesiastes cautions us about a vow. I'll start reading at verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. That's all I'm going to say about that. You got to pay. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you a revelation. When you vow, God gives you something on credit. When a vow is made, you said, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do. Okay? God hears it as a vow. And then he lets you have what you're asking for based on what you promised to do when you got that vow. See? So he's giving it to you on credit. I want you to get the revelation of this now. God, with a vow, goes into the future in your harvest and picks you out a seed and brings it back into the now. And then gives you the permission you want to sow that seed. In her case, she said, you give me a man child and I'll give him back to you. Now, the reason why God is so hard and so stern in this area called vow is because a vow is nothing but seed time and harvest. That's all it is. It's just happening on the back end instead of the front end. In other words, if you fail to pay the vow, then you have just negated God's law of sowing and reaping. God has given you seed from the future. So he has now operated in his own law, and no one is going to make a liar out of God. So you got to pay it. Or else it'll make God not keep his word. So you got to pay it. But it works. Folks have been in jail, made vows. Lord, you just get me out of here. So forth. They made vows. But you got to keep it. That's how powerful it is. It'll work every time because you've already taken the advance payment on your harvest. Okay? Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Watch this. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower and both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 10, if you will, I'd like to put it up there in the Amplified translation. You can get another degree of clarity from that. Here's what he says. And God who provides seed for the sower and bread for the eating also provides and multiplies your resources for sowing and increases the fruit of your what? Righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Put it up there again, the first part of that verse, please. It says here, God who provides seed for the sower. Isn't that something? God provides seed for the sower. But not only that, he multiplies the seed that is sown. Well, that's a good deal. He provided seed for you, then he multiplies whatever you sow. Now that's your harvest. Say, that's my harvest. That's your harvest that comes back to you. So after Hannah had this one child, she began to spit them out. I mean, boom, boom, boom. I shouldn't say it like that. She began to have more children. She began to have more children. But once her womb was open, she could bear much fruit. See? She needed a breakthrough. So this is a law that works. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because we had this green envelope here, and it's the New Covenant Community Development Corporation, that we said we're going to take this and we're going to partner with the bank with this and help rebuild the places that we're in with the bank. We're going to do that. But who did I tell you is going to fill it up? God. He's going to give you seed to sow with that you can get a breakthrough, and now things will start happening in your life. Are y'all with me? So, I was down in Tulsa going to school down at ORU in the seminary, and this is when before my wife was working, and we were just kind of living right there, right on the edge. And y'all know what I mean by on edge right there? Okay. And so I had gone to a meeting over at the Mabee Center, and a guy was speaking from Africa by the name of Archbishop Idihosa. And he was speaking. Now, he was a great man of faith, raised some from 9 or 14 people from the dead. And great man of faith. So he's speaking. But then he got done with his message. And he said, now, the man of God, talking about Dr. Oral Roberts, he said he needs some money. And he said, we're going to get it for him. And he said he needed, I guess, about, I don't know, $500,000, whatever it was. And he said, we're going to get it in this meeting. Lock the door. Man, how did I get in this meeting? All right, now watch this now. Because the tendency is that's why a lot of people don't serve God. Because they don't think it's any profit in doing it. They don't think it's any reward in doing it. They don't know God. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, put it up there on the board. I'll read it for you. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he what? Is. And that he, what else? Is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. It's amazing how many people don't think God is a rewarder. That he's not a God of profit. They call church a nonprofit. Well, you know anything about the Bible, the guy in Matthew chapter 25, the one who buried his talent got fired. So God is a God of increase. God wants you to increase. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So what happened? He said that. And then what happened? He said, bring the table out here. Brought the table. He said, now bring me a lot of envelopes. He brought the envelopes. He just put them on the table. He said, all right, for those who God is speaking to, I want you to come down here and get an envelope. He said, now you got this envelope and God is going to fill it up. Now, this is a faith pledge. This is kind of like if you get a vow, you do something. Now, what God's going to do is God's going to go ahead and he's going to fill this up. He's going to do it. And he's going to let you sow it because the work that he's trying to do is his work. See, he's going to finance his work. So what happened is I was sitting there and a lady was sitting beside me, rather elderly lady. And she looked at me and said, is the Lord talking to you? I said, lady, you better hush now. I mean, I didn't say that. I said, well, I don't know. And pretty soon I got just convicted. So what did I do? I went down to get an envelope. Now, what's God trying to do? God's trying to get me into faith. He's trying to let me know that he's trying to teach me how to believe him for money. That I don't need to let the devil dictate whether I can build something or not. Say amen to that for the kingdom. And so what has happened? I'm going now beyond my own comfort zone. And I went down there and got an envelope. On the way back up the steps to the balcony, here's what the man of God said. Now, if God fills that envelope up and you fail to bring it in, your family is cursed. You are cursed. I said, oh, Lord, Jesus, I got to bring this envelope. I knew I shouldn't have been in this meeting. No. See, what we need to do is we really need to get off the world system. We really do. And sometimes God's got to make you uncomfortable to get you off of this thing. They had to go from Egypt to the wilderness and to Canaan. Do you know they wanted to stay in all of those places? They wanted to stay in Egypt. They wanted to stay in the wilderness. Each time God is trying to bring you into a better life. And a better life means you don't have to wait on Social Security. But that thing looked like it's drying up. Now, what am I teaching you? This is a way you can do it. But what you're going to do is get a breakthrough with this. You're going to be on that 1,000 times more. Say amen to that. Because once you sow that seed that he will fill up the envelope for, you got some harvest coming. Say amen to that. Man, you can't beat that with a stick. So what happened is I got that envelope. How God filled that envelope with that $1,000, I cannot tell you today. I have no, my wife and I have been trying to reconstruct it. We can't because it's supernatural. And I'm just saying, all you got to do to help me is to get an envelope. We don't use it for the kingdom purposes, but get an envelope and believe God for $1,000 to go in it. And each day, just thank God for the money and watch that money come in there supernaturally. Now, two things about this. One, the money comes in so easy until if you're not discerning, you'll grab it and think it's yours and go spend it somewhere. So you got to understand that when he works like that, you got to be spiritually minded because it's going to come in. It's going to come in. You got what I'm saying? And then secondly, on this thing of sowing and reaping, God's plan for his people is to live in abundance. It's not for you to live so close to the line until if any little thing goes wrong, you are sunk. That's not the idea. The idea is for you to be blessed coming in and blessed going out and have enough not only for you, but enough for other folks as well. Isn't that something? So what we did is we made up these envelopes. And what we ask you to do is just take one, take it home. I didn't ask you to go into your Christmas fund or your children's tuition. I ask you to just believe God for it. God is going to fill the envelope up. Now, let me tell you the bottom line of what I think this envelope represents. I think when you believe God and use your faith for somebody else, it purifies your heart. I really believe that. I think it purifies your heart. Folks, when your heart is pure, this stuff works like that. Amen. A lot of times it takes a long time to work because there's so much mess in folks' heart. You see, the things of God is on the spiritual level. That's the heart. The things of the enemy are on the natural level. That's the head. God is trying to get you work out of your heart now. So I'm just saying that we have envelopes there. Take one, take it home, praise God. Somebody said, well, I don't want to participate. You don't have to. The point of it is God loves a cheerful giver, that he wants people who want to do what with these things that we're doing. Now, God put this on my heart. He put it on my heart. We're not going to labor to make this happen. Listen, we believe God to pay off the airplane. Did we do that?
Yes.
All right. We believe God to buy this equipment for the television ministry, the new HD equipment, and build out the whole thing. That's well over $1 million. Did you do that?
Yes.
Yeah. You can believe God for this, and he's going to do this as well. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So we're going to do it, and our goal is $3 million.
Amen.
And I watch this, and I'm believing for $3 million in 3 months.
Amen.
$3 million in 3 months. Now, all you have to do is do it, folks. We are having people already having results and bringing in envelopes. I'm just saying, it does work. Here's what I'm getting you to do. Please, if nothing else, just try it to practice getting off the world system. Let's not let our salaries dictate our income. Those days are over. Say amen to that. Give the Lord a praise and prepare your tithes and your offering. Amen.